He was a fascist and a racist and a genocidal propagandist who hated Jews. His name was Adolf Hitler. At his disposal were bombs and bullets, aeroplanes, frigates, submarines, and a multitude of people who followed him and who believed in the Third Reich. His aim was world domination, and yet he admitted that his most powerful weapon was his tongue. He was able to move and mobilize multitudes of people. He said this: make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep on saying it, and eventually everyone will believe it. Mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, insecurity, and panic. These are our weapons of war. The power of life and death lies in the tongue. The Bible tells us that. Today in Nehemiah chapter 6, we have Nehemiah being lied about. He faces taunts, lies, and threats. He's called to compromise. He's also has a letter written about him which is downright untrue. Not only that, but they threaten him. Threaten with his personal destruction. And yet, he continues to build and complete the wall. Nehemiah chapter 6, lies and threats. Number one, distraction. Number two, distortion. Number three, destruction. And number four, distinction. Number one, distraction. Remember last week we were at the halfway stage, the heartbreak stage. Whenever the people of God say we will arise and build, the enemy of God says we will arise and oppose. The sign that something is from heaven is that the opposition is from hell. Jesus said, through much tribulation you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember at that halfway stage with malice and menace coming? Remember problems externally and internally, still the wall was being built. Well, now we're at the almost complete stage. And lies and threats come. A call to compromise, distraction. Let's read the word together. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates. Remember this, the wall is being built, but the gates have not yet been hung. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hakkaferim, in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way. And I answered them in the same manner. You see, the walls are being built. Breaches are being fixed. The gates have not yet been hung. And the enemies are panicking. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they now want to compromise. They want to call to Nehemiah to compromise what he's doing. They send letter after letter after letter after letter four times. You can picture the scene. Hey, Nehemiah, old buddy. They wanted to kill him. Friend, you're doing a great work there, but listen, why don't you just come down? There's a lovely little oasis. Palm trees. Water and springs. A nice place for R&R. Why don't you come just to meet us in the plain of Ono? And let's do a deal. Let's have a chat together. Let's see if we can make a compromise. Come to the plain of Ono. But you remember that Nehemiah says, oh no. I am not going to be called to compromise. I'm going to meet this distraction with real devotion. You want to do me harm? You want to stop the work? It's not going to stop. I am doing a great work. I'm not going to stop doing the great work. And I'm not going to come down to your level. Incidentally, the gates have not been hung. Very important note. You see, in the little cities which you and I are building of our lives, and in the little cities of the churches which we're involved in, very often the walls are being built up, but the gates have not yet been hung. And still through eye gate comes things which should not come. And through ear gate comes gossip that we shouldn't listen to. And through mind gate, thoughts we should not think. And through heart gate, attitudes we should not hold. Suspicions which we allow to build up. And through relationship gate, the wrong sorts of relationships. The gates have not yet been hung. And the enemy wants to call for a bit of compromise. I love the children's story of Abdul and the camel. You've heard me tell it before. It's a great story. So Abdul's riding his camel in the desert. It gets to nighttime. He pitches his tent and he lies there fast asleep in his sleeping bag. Then halfway through the night, he's disturbed. The camel's nose and head is in the tent. Oh, please, it's cold out here. Will you move over? So Abdul moves over. And then next, he wakes up and the camel's nose and neck and front legs are in the tent. And he moves over. And then the next time he wakes up, he's outside the tent and the camel's in it. We must not give way to compromise in our lives. We must not. Do not. After the distraction comes the distortion, because slander, false truth, rumor, which is now going to be met with resolve. Listen to what happens. We read, in the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, so if Geshem says it, it must be right, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports, so now come and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Slander, untruth, half-truth, presented as a whole truth, which is in fact an untruth. Hey, listen, here's an open letter now. Let everybody see it. We know what you're up to, Nehemiah. This is just a power trip for you. You want to be the king. You want people to you want the prophets to prophesy that you're going to be the ruler in Jerusalem. You're building this wall for your own ego. That's patently untrue. And you're saying these things because you want to frighten us. And you want the work to stop. Hey, listen, Nehemiah, you and your ego trip, we will report it to the true king, Artaxerxes, when he gets to know what your real plan is, what your real objective and vision is, what your real passion is, which is for your name to be in bright lights, for you to be number one. You'll be in trouble. What a terrible thing. What a slanderous thing it is. I tell you, friend, the Bible says the tongue is able to do great damage. It's like a little spark in a timber-hot country where there's woods, and it sparks and it causes a great fire. So I'm telling you, that little fleshly bit between your jaws can be sharper than any razor, more deadly than any bullet. They slander him. They send an open letter. Rumors abound. But he meets rumor with resolve. This is not true. You're trying to frighten us. You're trying to stop the work. Remember this. Every man and woman in any sort of Christian leadership, or any man and woman trying to do whatever they can to build the city of God within their own heart, to allow God's kingdom to come within them. We're flesh and blood. That's all we are. Isn't that true? And it's easy for the brain to catastrophize, to go into overdrive. Nehemiah, he's frightened. He thinks the people will be frightened. He thinks the work's going to stop. Those of you who are loose with your tongue, be careful what you say. Please. You kick me, I'll scream. You prick me, I'll bleed. You tempt me, I'll fall. Don't do the devil's work for him. Distortion, slander, rumor met now with resolve. Isn't that good? Number three. It's now getting worse. Because it now leads to destruction. Shemaiah and Noadiah, they're in league with Sanballat and Tobiah. The message comes, hey, listen, they're out to kill you. And what's more, they're out to kill you tonight. So now treachery and intimidation are the order of the day. But it's going to be met with faith and courage. Listen to what the Bible says. Now, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his house, he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night. But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him. Oh, God had not sent him. But he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin. And so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat? Oh my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Think about this. Shemaiah is a priest and a prophet. Noadiah is a prophetess. And there's a whole group of prophets in Jerusalem, and they're in league with Sanballat and Tobiah. Don't be surprised at this, friends. As we get to the end of the chapter, what we learned the other Sunday morning about the people of Judah being in league with Sanballat is made plain. You see, what happens is the priest says, listen, you're in great danger, Nehemiah. What you should do is come into the holy place. Because they're going to kill you. They're out to destroy you. What's more, they're going to do at night. It might even be tonight. I've come to warn you. I wonder if we could read between the lines. Have you ever met anybody who says, well, the Lord has told me this? The Lord preserve us from such people. Hey, listen, the Lord's told me, you're in great danger. You're going to be destroyed. It could happen tonight. Why don't you come into the temple? I'll tell you what you do. Just come into the place where you shouldn't really go. You see, both Shemaiah, Noadiah, and all the prophets knew. They knew what the book of Numbers tells us, that no one is to go into that holy place. No one is. But they're in league. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not. All you want to do is make me afraid. All you want to do is discredit me. All you want to do is taunt me. It's not going to happen. Though you be treacherous, though you be intimidating, though you threaten, even though you threaten with my own demise, I will not budge. Beware of anyone who tells you to do anything outside of the parameters of God's word. It's not what we think. It's not what we feel. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about God and his glory. God and his kingdom. God and his cause. God and his purpose. In the purpose and in the will of his Son, who taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here he is. He won't stop the work, though they're out to destroy him. Don't do the devil's work for him. Ever. And don't be surprised when people you think are religious are actually not. The biggest stones thrown at Jesus were temple stones. The biggest problem Jesus had upon this planet was with religious people, hardliners. Isn't that true? No servant is greater than his master. So he meets treachery and intimidation with faith and with courage. I'm going to live above the integrity line, not on it, not below it, and you're not going to threaten me. Not only so, you're not going to ruin a reputation. You're not going to do it. I'm living for the glory of God, says Nehemiah. My focus is upon him, doing his work for his glory at his appointed time in my life. I remind you again, this is not about bricks and mortar. This is about the living stones which will make up the kingdom of God. Because without Jerusalem, the Messiah will never come. And that kingdom of God will never be established. No, my aim is upon serving you. My eye is focused on you. And Lord, would you deliver me, please, from the enemies? Amazing, isn't it? But lastly, this is about distinction. Because the impossible is now accomplished. And it's accomplished in 52 days. Listen to what the Bible says. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. That would be the 25th of September, a Monday this year in Israel. In 52 days, seven sevens are 49, yeah. So how many weeks? There you go. So just 7 weeks. It's completed. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. God help those who oppose, those who have the help of God. This is God's work, done God's way, with God's provision, with God's protection, for his own glory, for his reputation in the earth. And when all the enemies heard of it, all the nations around were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. Everyone's panicking now. The panic is not with Nehemiah. The panic is not with the people of God. The panic is with the enemies of God. And one day every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the kingdom of God, more than all the waters that cover the earth, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And his kingdom will come, and his will be done on earth. And it will be seen that it's God's work. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, as his wife. And they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. They're still at it. And you know why? Because they were in league with one another. There was marriage ties. There were family ties. Be careful in your Christian life. In a Christian church, in any cause of Christ, when family ties become more important than God's glory. Whoever you are, it has ruined many a Christian ministry, many a Christian church. Hasn't it? Those of us who lived in Liverpool long enough know that to be true. You see, those people of Judah had relationships here and there. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were in this together. And there was a conspiracy. Oh, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? But look at Nehemiah. He performs with distinction because of God's grace, for God's glory, empowered by God's Spirit. Look what happens. He's given the gift of discernment, isn't he? He can discern what's going on. Pray for the gift of discernment in our day. Not only so, he's given the gift of courage to eyeball, to go straight to the root of the issue, right to the heart of the issue, and the courage to say, no, I won't. You are wrong. This work will continue, and I am going to finish the work. Not only so, he's a man of prayer. He begins the work with prayer. He will end the work with prayer. In this particular passage, he says, oh Lord, please will you give me strength? Give me the strength I stand in need of. He says, oh Lord, please, will you deal with the enemies? And he's got the resolve not to go outside the parameters of God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, the much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb, moreover. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He is resolved not to go outside the parameters of God's word, of God's command, of God's commission. And he resolves to finish the wall. And he will resolve to hang the gates. And the impossible, what seemed to be impossible, is accomplished in 52 days. I've said to you weekly about putting on the armor of God. Part of that armor of God is to take the shield of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Every day we should say, Lord, give me faith. Help my unbelief. Help me see the impossible, hear the inaudible. Believe for the incredible and receive the impossible. Help me walk by faith and not by sight. Give me the grace to do what you've commissioned me to do and to complete the work. One of my favorite people in history is a man called C.T. Studd. He was a sportsman. He played cricket for England. And not only so, he was the son of a multimillionaire. Could have entered into a whole life of luxury, leisure, pleasure, and treasure. He decided to be a missionary. I love it when he wrote, "We need a few of the daredevil crew who never know when they are beat, who fire away all night and all day, and who flatly refuse to retreat." The resolve to keep on keeping on. To keep on keeping on even when the pressure's on. The resolve to say, Lord, you be my vision. Lord, you be my shield. You be my sword for the fight. You be my strong armor. You be my might. You be my shelter. You my high tower. You raise me heavenward. Oh, power of my power. Focus on Jesus. Keep on the narrow way from the city of destruction to the celestial city, eyes on him alone. Onward, upward, forward, higher. Let's stand and sing.